Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Good news, 100 days in.
Just 9 illegal migrants were released into the United States during President Trump's first 100 days in office, compared to 184,000 during the same period last year under then-President Biden, according to Border Czar Tom Homan. The stunning figures came as the White House celebrated a 99.99% decrease in so-called gotaways, illegal entrants who evaded authorities, which the administration called the top threat to public safety. In that same time frame that we released 9, the Biden administration released 184,000 illegal aliens into the country, Homan said on Fox and Friends. Homan praised Trump's immigration policies, saying, "President Trump is a game changer. What's happening on the border, he did in 7 weeks, what Joe Biden couldn't or wouldn't do in 4 years." Homan explained that of the 9 released, 4 were material witnesses in criminal cases, 4 were in extreme medical distress, and 1 was released on humanitarian grounds. Under Biden, Border Patrol officials dealt with up to 15,000 crossings per day. Under Trump, Homan said that number dropped to just 178. Illegal border encounters are now down 95%, with the administration calling it proof that Trump has ushered in the most secure border in modern American history. Since returning to office...
Those numbers are staggering, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, just 178 a day versus 15,000?
Yeah.
Wow. Trump lets in 9, lets 9 say, versus, you know, since he took office... First, you know, 7 weeks, 184,000?
Yeah.
Wow. Sure looks like we could have closed that border.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal, following up on this Judge Dugan case out of Wisconsin, where she deliberately obstructed the arrest of an illegal immigrant.
Yeah. It's
crazy what she did.
Yeah.
And look, when she hit him, she's shoving him out the door, running him down the street. Wall Street Journal points out this morning, she wasn't just helping him evade ICE, helping him evade capture. She was helping him evade trial for the very violent physical crimes he had committed against the two victims who were just sitting in the courtroom.
Now, I believe the Supreme Court there has removed her or suspended her. She ought to be disbarred or disjudged or impeached or whatever. I mean, this is an absolute miscarriage of justice, period, whether you are sympathetic with the cause of the illegal immigrant or not. This is something that cannot happen or justice will not prevail in this country.
Law professor Jonathan Turley wrote this on his blog, and he's absolutely right about this. He said this is a line that has been crossed here. He said what these politicians do not explain, talking about these Democrats who are screaming and yelling, constitutional crisis, blah, blah. What these politicians do not explain is where the line should be drawn. If judges can now actively assist in the escape of fugitives or wanted individuals, could Dugan order court officers to hide Flores Ruiz? That's the illegal immigrant. Could she put him in her trunk and drive him out of the courthouse? Once you leave the bench to assist in alleged illegality, you find yourself on a slippery slope. This has happened before, and according to judges, he's listing a particular judge. It will happen again. Turley observed that Dugan, quote, did not issue court orders, or call a hearing to address the problem. Instead, she personally facilitated his escape from federal authorities. Every Democrat who has defended Dugin and who slammed the Trump administration on this issue should be required to answer questions like the one Turley posed. How far is too far in the resistance movement? Judges defying the rule of law? Apparently not. Domestic terrorism at Tesla dealerships? Apparently not. Is there even a line anymore for these people? And the line he explained was this. Look, sanctuary cities, what you're doing is saying we're not going to use any of our resources at all to help ICE, not even so much as a phone call to them to say, hey, this illegal immigrant murderer, we're letting him out at noon on bond, be in the parking lot. Like, you can't even do that. All right. Well, that's not using your resources. But when you physically actively take action to protect an individual, again, one from ICE, but two from trial, that is a next step, he's saying. And he's right.
What do you think would happen to a citizen that tried to facilitate the or delay the arrest by ICE of someone? I mean, you'd be arrested.
Well, depending on what area you're in. Yeah, arrested or celebrated, depending on where you are, right? But think about this. Let's flip it on its head. What would happen if you were a citizen who tried to prevent the arrest of a January 6er?
Yeah.
What would happen then?
Oh, you'd be called a co-conspirator.
Yeah. What would happen if you snuck him out the back door of your house when the FBI was headed down the street to arrest him and you got word, you saw them? What would happen then? I bet you would be cooling your heels in solitary confinement too. Guarantee you would. But those aren't the right people. January 6th protesters, not the right people. They are right-wing people, but they're not the right people. But illegal immigrants are the right people, so it's all good. Meanwhile, Trump has come up with a brilliant new way of charging people. And, you know, one of the things we really need to do, and this is why Congress is so useless, is change. But the first time you get caught crossing that border, it's a felony because it's a misdemeanor right now. That would be huge. Just some like simple common sense things that Congress could do, but they're just not doing. Well, the Justice Department's begun, Lee, its first criminal prosecutions of migrants who breached the newly expanded military zone at the southern border. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different prosecutorial standard. It's now patrolled by U.S. troops, threatening people with additional penalties for crossing the U.S.-Mexico border. 28 migrants charged Monday. They are the first tranche with crossing the 170-mile-long, quote, national defense area. 60-foot strip of land stretches across the bottom of New Mexico and has effectively been turned into part of a U.S. military installation. This is brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
So prosecutors added the new charge of violating security regulations in U.S. District Court in Las Cruces to the more common misdemeanor of entering the United States illegally. That crime is punishable by up to a year in prison. Good. This is what it's going to take. So the left's going to go wild here, try to stop this. But this is a new way for Trump to begin doing this. It's also great because it keeps it out of local liberal immigration courts where I presume judges will just usher illegals out the back door. Right. I mean, I don't, it's what Democrats do, right?
Yeah.
So anyway.
Just shaking my head. I'm just telling you.
Texter writes, we have a new theme song for this judge, Robert Palmer's Sneak and Sally Through the Alley.
Oh, yeah. Great song. Yeah, that's a good one. Very good.
Yeah. Texter writes, I agree with that, Tara. Bezos should be made to pay for the sins he profits from, too. I know at least 4 8-figure sellers on Amazon. They source products that they design and actually have product patents. I think they mean patents on from China. They knew going in at the 25% tariff that Trump put on China continued. So you know what I said was, if you're going to put the tariffs on, if Amazon was going to, and obviously they aren't going to now, then put them all on.
Yeah, like, I heard you say that. That's a brilliant point, because that's the reason this is happening, because all these countries have been tariffing our imported goods into their country for decades.
Exactly. And so, yeah, put them all on. And Clinton, you know, the one that ones that Trump put on last time and Biden left, why weren't those put on during the Biden administration? Trump had tariffs on China from the first administration that Biden kept.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
But I guess those were cool. They were fine.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
But or, if Trump does it or increases them, then it's suddenly wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Coming up on the show, headline, Wall Street Journal, big marketers like MasterCard, PepsiCo, Nissan are rethinking Pride marketing. They're actually fleeing in droves, and that's just a few of it, proving, did they ever really want to do this in the beginning? Or did Obama's human rights campaign force them to? We'll have that coming up on the show. Stay tuned.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects to it.
Strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Days after you first heard it here, it's what we pride ourselves on. Fox News catches up to the Tara Show. Good for them.
There are signs that China's economy is taking a hit due to this trade war. We have a full screen with numbers from China's National Bureau of Statistics. Mm-hmm. It shows that export orders fell to the lowest readings since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And now the pressure is on Xi Jinping to make a deal. That's what Scott Bessin is hanging his hopes on here. Will he?
Thank God for Scott Bessin. He's one of the smartest people in the room, and he is so practical, and he's always been really consistent. We import 5 times what China imports from us. Yeah. They need us more than we need them.
Yep.
We're not importing as much, and you look exactly, you know, 30 days later, what's happening to their factory orders, their export orders, their official PMI manufacturing order that's now below 50, which confirms contractionary, not expansionary numbers. So, look, China has the benefit of being a dictator. He doesn't have an election.
That's where I was going with
this. He doesn't have a midterm.
Yeah.
He can pump up the economy with all of his stimulus because he reports to no one but himself. We don't always have the luxury of that. So they have a long-term game. But again, it comes down for who needs who more. And right now, we're starting to see some cracks in their, cracks in their economy.
In their armored economy.
That's a great point. They are one-party rule, Chinese economy.
Headline. China now says it's willing to cooperate with the U.S. after Boeing's bet. China is willing to support normal cooperation with U.S. companies, the country's Ministry of Commerce said, just days after Chinese Airlines rejected taking delivery of any new jets from U.S. plane maker Boeing. That's what happens when you don't back down. They didn't last long. They didn't even make it a whole week. Too bad for them. Folks, last week, Daily Pulse on the strategy being used here.
But the problem for Chinese manufacturers is not just the tariffs, but the uncertainty of timing and sudden changes to policy. They say no one is willing to make a big move on production or shipments until the trade landscape becomes more predictable. This means most Chinese factories are frozen. Trump's tariff actions are widely criticized by the media as erratic or poorly planned, but what they don't understand is that the uncertainty is the real leverage, not the tariffs. What seems like a spur-of-the-moment decision or a sudden capitulation on Trump's part can be highly effective at throwing foreign governments and corporations off balance. Globalism requires a perpetual status quo. Change of any kind is like holy water to a vampire. Chinese shipments are actually on standby and orders are frozen. Nothing is moving.
Oops. That's what Wall Street was fighting right there. A lot of them use the slave labor in China to get the upper hand. Now, here's the fascinating part, okay? Nobody's talking about this, with the exception maybe Zero Hedge, Daily Pulse, best I could find. Transshipment. What's transshipment? Well, in country, it's not just this one. Country after country after country, you know what China has done? They have gone in and dumped goods. That is not capitalism. That is where the government goes in to hawk. We don't know how much. We think that up to 300% of GDP is owed by the government. In other words, they're much worse off than we are, and we're pretty bad off. They subsidize the goods. So they're not winning at capitalism using, you know, slave labor. They have to subsidize the goods beyond it, dump them in the market. That puts, you know, your local factory out of business. Then they come in and buy it. Now they own it. They've done this. Vietnam is a country that's pretty famous for this. So China thought, well, you know, who cares if they tariff us? Because Trump tariffed them last time and Biden left the tariffs on. Nobody said a thing about that. So they thought, we don't care. No big deal. I mean, our factories are churning stuff out all over the place from, you know, Vietnam to Singapore. We'll just, you know, the factories essentially they stole with trade practices that are illegal, but nobody's ever taken, you know, the hammer to them, which is unfortunate. Well, listen to how Trump's tariffs on other countries are gutting China, the transshipment market, where China could have been like, well, we'll just ship the stuff to Vietnam, make it in our factory that we stole there.
Some shipping companies may even face insolvency. Southeast Asia has become a heavily impacted area due to the U.S. reciprocal tariffs. For Chinese companies relying on U.S.-China trade, they did not expect that Trump would impose such strong tariffs on Southeast Asian countries like Cambodia and Vietnam. With the tariffs now in place, the profits of Chinese companies exporting to the U.S. have decreased significantly, as some have nearly become non-existent. The more they export, the more they lose, and even their attempts to use transshipment trade have been blocked.
And perhaps even more interestingly is Chinese nationals reporting how much of an effect this is having on their businesses.
Hey, what I fear the most has happened. I got an email early this morning from a U.S. client who purchases several million dollars worth of goods each year. Due to changes in Trump's tariff policies, they'll indefinitely suspend their orders. I read it and nearly passed out. What do we do now? More than 50% of factories will close this year. The golden era, when machines were running nonstop, is over. My brother, I just got off the phone with a client. He's gone bankrupt and has cleared out his stock. A lot of my clients in my WeChat moments are gone now. My peers are desperately slashing prices and extending payment terms. We have orders with payment terms, but we can't collect the money. Those doing cash sales can't even get orders.
Zero Hedge says China will not be able to survive tariffs on the current scale for long. A single year of 124% tariffs would crush China's economy beyond repair.
Scott Bessent comes out yesterday and says, yeah, they're in danger of losing 10 million jobs. And I heard that and I went, 10 million? That sounds conservative to me. Oh, and then there's this.
Throw into the mix that since 2023, China has been mired in a deflationary crisis triggered by the CCP's severe pandemic lockdowns that negated an export boom, leading to economic stagnation, a collapsed property market from government-subsidized overbuilding of shoddy tofu dreg structures, and widespread corporate defaults that have devastated investors. Despite brief optimism about government recovery efforts, Vanke, a major state-linked developer, reported a historic 49.5 billion yuan loss for 2024, its first since 1991, highlighting the crisis's depth. The deflationary spiral has fueled unpaid wages, factory closures, protests, and suspicious fires, while China's debt exceeding 300% of GDP limits stimulus options. Leaked videos by citizens bypassing the Great Firewall exposed the economic decay despite CCP efforts to suppress such information as a national security threat, underscoring China's precarious position in a fragile, interdependent global economy heavily reliant on Western exports. In closing, what Trump is doing seems to be the final nail in the coffin of an already failing economy. The question is, how will they retaliate next?
I don't know. COVID virus with a 20% kill rate this time. I mean, it's on the table. It's in that bioweapons lab. Fauci gave it to him, along with the technology to weaponize it. He should be in prison. I don't know what they'll do. The only thing they got going for him, though, is the Democrats and Rand Paul. They got that, pretending that what they're doing is capitalism. It's not. And you know what else they got going for them? Wall Street. Deliberately trying to crash the markets. Wall Street's fake panic over Trump's tariffs was actually a staged manipulation to spook everyday investors. And this clip, I can't play this enough. I'm playing it every hour. I did my podcast on it yesterday. How fake this is. Listen, this is yesterday. Scott Bessent on the Vanguard numbers. This is better than any poll. How many Americans trust Trump on these tariffs long term? Answer is 97%.
The Vanguard
of investors,
one of the largest money management firms in America, said that over the past 100 days, 97% of Americans haven't done a trade. And in fact, individual investors have held tight while institutional investors have panicked. So individual investors trust individual the investors trust President Trump.
Megan. That's incredible. To withstand that hysteria, the yelling, the screaming. And you know what they were doing? All these big institutional corporate hedge fund, they were sending all their guys on CNBC, Fox Business, you know, all the places, Squawk Box, blah, blah, blah. The end is coming. The end is nigh. Oh, no. If we can't get cheap lead-lined fake eyelashes from China, the world will end. New York Times doing it this morning. Oh, sorry. It's yesterday morning. There will not be toys under the tree. Who cares? No one plays with toys anyway. They all want, kids just want your credit card for another video game online so they can play with their friends from school. Folks, you know, it's weird. Before China entered the World Trade Organization, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, were there Christmas gifts under the tree? I think there were. I remember Cabbage Patch Kids and such. I don't know. Maybe there weren't. Think there will be again? You betcha. It was one of the most significant stories of the last week. Makes you ask a lot of questions. UK Daily Mail, piggybacking off Telegraph, making the stories, two big main dailies of the UK, admitting something the media only laughed at until then. The idea that you could spray the clouds, spray the atmosphere, and control the weather. Can't do that. Stupid conspiracy theory. Online conspiracy theory. What? Wait a minute. The UK's going to spray the clouds to control the temperature? Well, wait. I thought you would not. I thought you couldn't do that. That was a conspiracy theory. Well, that's nuts. So you can? You can't? Oh, yeah. No, you can. What? And folks, it was done so brilliantly that people didn't even catch what happened. The UK comes out, yes, you know, we're going to be doing experiments with this, spraying the clouds. We're going to reflect the sunlight back out of the atmosphere to combat global warming that is not happening. Sounds risky. Yeah, it is. But do you see what they did there? Two steps. Boom, boom. Wait. That means y'all are admitting that was not a conspiracy. The government is doing that, and they're going to do it. That means they can do that. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It does mean that. And the way they did it was, bro, they skipped that part. Oh, yeah, no, we've always known. What? Hold on. Now RFK says it's happening here. And that the Trump administration aims to stop it because the chemicals that are being sprayed are incredibly dangerous and detrimental to health once they fall to Earth. Plus the idea of even doing this, there's left-wing climate scientists who believe in global warming and the Easter Bunny, I'm told. And believe in global warming and the Easter Bunny, but who say you spray these chemicals, this could be permanent damage, which is not good. RFK asked about chemtrails, says his agency has triangulated it, and they think they know where it's coming from inside the U.S. government, and they intend to do something about it. By the way, Trump said this in February, that the stuff deliberately added by the government is making people sick.
My biggest concern is the stratospheric aerosol injections that are continuously peppered on us every day. Bromium, aluminum, strontium, it's sprayed in our skies all day long. And I know you've talked to Dane Wigington about this. He seems to be one of the experts in the field.
Is there a question?
Yes. How do we stop it?
That is not happening in my agency. You know, we don't do that. It's done, we think, by DARPA. And a lot of it now is coming out of the jet fuel.
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, those materials are put in jet fuel. I'm going to do everything in my power to stop it. We're bringing on somebody who's going to think only about that, find out who's doing it, and holding them accountable.
Yes, sir.
RFK, Health and Human Services. Yet another conspiracy theory. You were told you were nuts if you believed, except now it's real. Now it's true, and it's happening. Don't believe me? Take it up with the Telegraph and RFK and Trump. I mean, but government can alter the weather. I mean, yeah, okay, they've kind of admitted it, but, you know, this whole idea that CIA was out there, you know, altering the weather, exploring altering the weather through DARPA, maybe funding it. I mean, the CIA director would never. Here's John Brennan, 2016, June, at the Council on Foreign Affairs. I'll let him explain.
The technology's potential to alter weather patterns and benefit certain regions of the world at the expense of other regions could trigger sharp opposition by some nations. Others might seize on SAI's benefits and back away from their commitment to carbon dioxide reductions. And as with other breakthrough technologies, global norms and standards are lacking to guide the deployment and implementation of SAI and other geoengineering initiatives. Now, I could go on and on and on and on about the things that fascinate me, but rather than talk about them, I thought I'd stop here.
Yeah, that was CIA director admitting they can change the weather by seeding clouds. 2016, John Brennan. So DARPA's doing, that's good to know. Let's triangulate that and stop it. Here's the rest of that John Brennan speech admitting that you can do this and the cost of the program to do it.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering, that potentially could help reverse the warming effects of global climate change. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. An SAI program could limit global temperature increases, reducing some risks associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. This process is also relatively inexpensive.
Okay, you got it. They have it. They can do it. It's a $10 billion program. Right now, they're running it out of DARPA, RFK says. Wow. Fantastic. You know what I always wondered about? I just wonder. Helene, you ever seen a hurricane hit in the mountains? Right before an election. I'm really familiar with the political terrain of North Carolina because I've run statewide election campaigns there. Do you know what the most critical precincts, the most pro-Trump precincts are? Right there along that ridge. Western North Carolina. The one that got decimated. Right outside of Buncombe. Avery. Allegheny, Alexander. Damn if it didn't bowl right through there. You ever heard of a hurricane hitting like that in the mountains? Now, here's what's weird. Nobody talked about it. That's probably just a coincidence, I'm sure. But did you notice the track it took through the panhandle, then veering to the west through Georgia? See, nobody else talked about this. North Carolina got all the attention. My daughter and I hike in Georgia, North Georgia. I'm very familiar with it, with the area. You know, North Georgia was decimated. You know where the most pro-Trump precincts are in North Georgia? They're in that north and northeastern corridor of Georgia. And damn if the thing didn't go over the panhandle, veer to the west to hit that, and then veer back out to the northeast across the most critical precincts in North Carolina. Folks, the two most critical swing states. If Trump didn't win them both, he was done. He'd lost Georgia last time. Or maybe it's coincidence. Probably coincidence. Fortuitous one, though. Almost looked like God was trying to help the Democrats. And man, if I could spin that thing through, that's exactly the precincts I'd have put it through. But that's just me. Texter writes, hey, Tara, what is DARPA? DARPA is Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. It's an independent research and development agency within the United States Department of Defense. They had a very close relationship with Hunter Biden when he was going back and forth with them on that government email that he had about setting up the bioweapons labs in Ukraine. That's who DARPA is. Ultimately, they were able to get that deal done in Ukraine, which was super excited, but kind of pissed the Russians off and they invaded to save themselves. But I mean, other than that, no, it worked out great. By the way, someday they're going to admit all that too. It's coming just like this. Scott Bessent yesterday proposing something that makes so much sense. Congress would never do it because Congress never does anything that makes sense. We've documented this over the years. They will always do the worst thing for America first till they get called out for it. And then they'll move off that policy to the second worst thing for America. But what if we actually wanted to win, to create jobs, to see Main Street boom? What would we do? Something like this, proposed by Scott Bessent yesterday.
One of the most powerful parts of President Trump's 2017 tax bill was full expensing of equipment. We are going to make that, as President Trump said in his speech to Congress, that will be retroactive to January 20th. The other thing that we are looking to add is full expensing for factories. So bring your factory back. You can fully expense the equipment and the building. We will couple that with deregulation, cheap energy, and regulatory certainty, and that will continue to make the U.S. the greatest destination for domestic and foreign business.
Yeah, it would. We could do a lot of stuff like that. We want to. That would make so much sense, which is why I don't think it'll ever happen in Congress. We got to help our Chinese friends first. And folks, if Trump loses this, it'll be because the Democrat Party and the turncoats in the GOP in Congress. I was pleasantly surprised, by the way, John Thune. I got to give him credit because I beat him up. He is the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, and he's a majority leader. And like right now, I'm very frustrated with what he's doing with the big, beautiful bill. But he did pull Republicans aside yesterday and give them a lecture. The Democrats are planning an anti-tariff vote, try to stop Trump and his tariffs. And he gave them a talking to about not joining the Democrats and sticking by Trump on this and the need to stick together or we will fail. I was shocked, about fell off my chair. But you know what? When they get it right, I'll let you know that too.